Like Family with Brenda Donoghue.
In this edition of Like Family, we talk about fathers.
Certainly a different time, and I would never compare my dad to me. He financially supported all of us. The fridge was never empty, you know, but as I said, emotionally, he would never say, I love you. But the difference I would have is I start using that an awful lot with my kids and I get it back, you know. And you genuinely, when you say it, you mean it, you know. But my poor dad's getting slated.
I know, no, he's not. And I think it's very clear.
You know.
And you can join the conversation on Twitter at Brenda Donoghue or email brenda@rte.ie.
How are you?
How are you?
Good, good, good.
Well,
we're just in.
Is she asleep?
Well, just about. She's not been sleeping.
Oh, no.
The little over the weekend.
Oh,
she's
no.
She doesn't know how to sleep.
Oh.
Sorry, put the bag down. How are you?
I'm good.
Hello, little doodles. Hi, Penny.
Hello.
How old is she?
She's 18 days old.
Let's take a quick snapshot of a 21st century Irish father, like Andrew.
Oh, Penny, what's wrong? Are you tired? Yeah, that's a big yawn. You're tired. See, this is it, Brenda. Like, when she cries, there's really only 4 or 5 reasons why she is crying. So it's a case of trying to figure out which one it is. Now, we know she's not hungry because we just gave her bottles. There's the evidence. She's gotten her burps up, so we're confident it's not wind. She might need to be changed. That could be it. She may need to be changed. But my guess is she's just tired.
Yeah.
And she's trying to figure out how to sleep. That's the tricky one.
You're kind of a natural, Andrew. Is this new to you?
This is brand new to me. Now, we would have nephews and nieces, but I always handed them back when they cried. I think in the first few days, like, you panic.
Yeah.
You know, when the baby starts crying, like, you're like, oh my God, what are we going to do? How do we make this stop? But then you understand that, like, you just you learn to understand that babies are going to cry and they're actually fine.
Oh, mommy's coming to say.
Oh. Hey, little doodles, come here.
Oh, you like that?
In common with more than 50,000 other dads, he has taken paternity leave, introduced just 3 years ago.
It's funny, she's only a couple of days old and already
you
both know all her little movements
mad,
and idiosyncrasies.
Yeah.
And she knows ours.
I know.
Really?
More
she
to
gets,
the point.
She gets...
She does. She knows, like, if... She knows that's her feeding chair. So normally if we come over here, she knows she's looking for the bottle.
So when she sees the muslin coming and we tuck it into her baby grow, she gets so excited and the fists get really animated and the legs start going and then she opens her mouth.
She
like, it's amazing.
Smell the milk off that because, you know, you could use that to wipe her mouth or something.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I think you got her asleep, did you?
I think
no.
Yeah.
The two eyes, no.
Okay, will we have that coffee?
Yes, let's go for it.
Let's go for it.
Was there a moment where you went, oh my God, I'm a dad?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably... That one of the first things that goes through your mind, but it's weird, I'd say, from the dad's point of view, because when the baby is born that night, you get sent home. So Michelle is in the hospital alone with Penny, and you come home, and you're coming home to an empty house, and you do that 2 nights in a row. Or we certainly did it for 2 nights, but then on the third night, is when it really kicks home, because that's when you're in your own house and you're here as a family. So when you come back and there's no midwives that you can call on, there's no emergency button that you can press, there's no help at the end of a shout or anything like that, that's when it really kicks home. That's like, oh my God, I'm a dad, we're a family, it's up to us now.
If you look back, do you see that practical roles of dads have changed?
Absolutely. Like when my dad was my age and he was having children, he was back in work the next day. So and that was it. That was just a given. There was no extended paternity leave. And I think I was born on a Friday, but he would have been back in work the following Monday. Whereas I've had the luxury of being able to take the full 2 weeks paternity leave. So it's nice to have that time to get to know your to get to know your baby and to get to know your new role, and so that Michelle wasn't just landed in it herself, I suppose, in the same manner that that my mother would have been back in the day.
And Michelle, what would your observations be?
Do you know, I think what we've noticed is that, like, our generation, just the guys seem to be so into it. You know, it's part and parcel of, they want to be as hands-on as maybe the mums. You know, it probably was very different when we were younger. The mums took a huge amount of the responsibility on, and I suppose Andrew's point about there not really being paternity leave, like, it made it very difficult for dads to really get involved.
If you think back when there wasn't paternity leave, or there was maybe a day or two's grace, do you see how necessary it is, or in a way the direction in which things are heading and how positive that is for men?
Yeah, the direction is definitely going in the right way, but it needs to go further still. I mean, I know my brother is only a couple of years older than me, but he wouldn't have had the 2 weeks off. It is definitely positive the way it's going, but I think Ireland is still very much behind the curve. I've a couple of friends that live in Copenhagen, and I know the system that they have over there is that the dad gets as much time as the mum. Between them, they've had the best part of 2 years where there's always been a parent, a full-time parent in the house, and I think that's massive for for them as a family and for the child's development, and it's a route that Ireland needs to seriously consider going down. But I definitely think that it's really that the last few weeks being here, they've just been so precious that I can't imagine what it would have been like if I didn't have that. So it makes you wonder how hard it was back in the day, again going back to how it was for our fathers who were back in work the next day.
And why do you think that not a lot of dads are taking up this paternity leave?
There's probably a couple of reasons. One of them might be financial, that if their employer doesn't top up their salary to their normal pay, they just mightn't be able to afford it on the €245 that you get from the government. Another might be, the other reason is probably stigma, that they might be afraid that they don't want to be seen taking it. It might be frowned upon if they're seen to be taking it. Now, thankfully, that is shifting. There might be a sense in the older generations that circle, they might frown on the younger men who are coming up now taking paternity leave, and they're like, oh, I never had that when I was their age or when I was a dad. But it is shifting. Like, as the paternity leave benefits are getting are improving, and the younger generation of men is coming up, that will shift, so that it will eventually become the norm.
We're going back to work in a day and a half.
It's going to be hard. I know that for the first couple of days when I'm in there, the focus levels won't be where they should be. I'll be sneaking the looks at the phone to make sure that, you know, there's no missed calls or texts or anything, to make sure that everything is all right. It's going to be a big adjustment. It's not like going back to work after a 2 week holiday. It's completely different than that. Mm-hmm. Previously, it would have been just a case of getting up, having a coffee. I cycle to work, and like you could be up and out the door in 20 minutes, and then shower in work. But now it's going to be completely different, because you'll be hoping to get up, maybe get a feed done before you go. And
we love the sound of that, don't we, Penny?
We've had our routine for the last 3 weeks. We're going to end up having to get a new routine now, probably fairly swiftly. So that's a bit terrifying.
Are you going to miss these two here?
I have no doubt that this week back, like, thankfully it's a Wednesday I'm going back and not a Monday, so it is only going to be the 3 days, but like, they're going to drag. I know that I'm not going to want to be there, that I'm going to want to be here spending time with Penny and Michelle, doing all the nice things that we've had the luxury of being able to do, like just doing the little milestones. So like last Friday we went into the birth register place on Lombard Street, and we were able to do that together and register and stuff like that. And like, I know from speaking to my dad, who would have been in work straight away after we were all born, like, he missed out on all the little milestones, and he makes up for those things that he missed out on with his grandchildren now. So we'd be kind of looking at him, and he'd be like, oh, again, this is obviously isn't with Penny because she's so small, but with my nieces and nephews, And my dad would be like so excited when they might crawl for the first time or walk for the first time. And we'd be like, but you had all that with us. And he'd be like, no, I didn't. Your mum did all of that. Sure, I was in work. So, you know, I've had the opportunity to be here for the little milestones. It's really nice personally.
I know.
She's waking now.
Oh, she is. Look, it's a problem.
Oh.
Fortnight's paternity leave flies by. It will take a generation to see what impact this new leave has on the relationship between 21st century Irish fathers and their children.
I like the shoes, by the way. They're fantastic.
Well,
shoes.
Alan got you those shoes. But what's new? What's new? It's not new. It's the bags. So we're back.
What's the bags? Yeah,
we're back doing the bags. There's a soft landing system.
Yeah.
We're the agents for the whole country.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick snapshot of 20th century Irish dads.
Price doesn't matter when it comes to saving a life. You should know that.
I know, yeah, but I mean, there must be
in Cork,
anyway.
I call into Dunica Loftus' shop, DL Safety. He runs an industrial safety equipment company. His father, Hilary, is in the demolition business.
In the demolition, but it's most important. To have the right gear and the right things, eh?
Steel toss, I know that.
Robert, Dunica's eldest, is working with them for the summer.
See, Robert wants to do the safety rather than demolition because it's easier.
They tell me about their relationship as fathers and as sons. Dunica began by telling me about when Robert was born.
Yeah, I remember. He was born at 6:20 in the morning. We went in on the Monday and my wife was induced, but obviously she had to go for an emergency section. Born at 6:20 in the morning. My father-in-law, God rest him, who the father knows well, who was a great guy, Kevin, worked for me. And I collected him for work at around 8:20. And I went into work, told him the great news. And my mother-in-law, blah, 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 we had stuff to do. And I was in Dairy Gold in Mallow till about 7:30 on the Tuesday night, cleaning up a job, and got back to the hospital at about 8:30 with a friend of mine, Bob Anderson, who was a supplier from Scotland. Actually, this is the truth, who was a supplier from Scotland. And I rock into the ward, which I mean, and of course my wife's after having a section, there all day, other people, no husband, they're going, hey, how's it going? But we made about $6,000 in the order, and I brought Bob in to say hello to see my beautiful new son, Robert. So I remember exactly when they were all born. So we all do.
Yes, sometimes it takes dads a little while longer before, I suppose, the enormity of fatherhood dawns on them. Mm. What were you like? Was it instant? Did it take a little while?
If I lied, I'd say not, but it was instant, and the father will confirm that. It actually was. Sure, like this guy, like I talk a lot, right? And I get it from him, my left hand side.
And I get it from you.
But he does too. And I had a transit van for work. I actually had a babysitting young man, and we'd go away Saturdays and do work. And I actually got a big 6x4 picture of him, so show people. But what I also done was, and even when I think of it now, it's funny, I used to come home, and like whatever, because you work of yourself, you wouldn't come home at 6 o'clock, whatever. But we'd have a chat, two of us, it could be 6 months old, whatever. And that's how it all started. So yeah, it was immediate, as far as I'm concerned. A lot going on.
A lot going on. And Hilary, Dunica said he was in labour wards and that. Did you do anything like that?
He was in the intensive care. Jesus. I thought the world would stop with him. And the excitement and the worry and the strain and poor Meyer it is and poor Meyer. Say, for Christ's sake, relax. Let the doctors do their job. Yeah. I tell you, he nearly went into intensive care with the flesh and the worry.
Were you in labour wards?
Was
when, when your wife was having a baby. And this is obviously getting a laugh.
You said, do I know my dad? We were a little answer to see granny's half her face.
Yeah. I might have been in the hospital, but I wasn't in the labour ward.
Were you in the hospital?
I missed a couple of the births, all right, you know.
Yeah.
It was good. We had everything was max mode. But being inside the labour ward, like, wouldn't suit me at all, you know. No way. I prefer to be outside the door unless someone come and tell me.
It hasn't got hydraulics, like. It's not a valve or a dumper, like.
So, I suppose, Dunica, if you look at your dad and the way he's lived his life, or what are the things or the values that you think has been transferred down to you through Hilary being your dad?
Very little. Seriously. The work ethic. Right, you have to balance your work.
Yeah.
And we're not afraid to work. I've set up this company again, right, I'm 49 years of age. I've reset up this company. People say it's a big challenge, it's a big thing to take on. But it's not. It's what we know. I suppose the, how do I say this now, right? I wouldn't have all his stories because he'd be a small bit of a shanaky extended stories. But like, I wouldn't be shy. We wouldn't be afraid to talk to people and mix with so like, yeah, he's not, you know, and that's reflected there. Yeah. We'd know an awful lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay. In the city and outside the city. And that has to come from here because we played five. I played five different sports, as far as he played more.
15.
Yeah, yeah,
15.
I played five different sports. So out of that, we made lots and lots of good friends. But we learned to make it from the family, don't say the father, the mother, the hurling, the football, the sports, going to all the jobs. Because we worked in every site in Cork, let it be demolition or civil engineer time.
So what you're saying is obviously work ethic, your ability to connect with people.
Absolutely, yeah.
How you approach life.
Absolutely, yeah. But I also say to them, always be your own person. Because you can't be a clone. You have to go forward. So, yeah, but we definitely took lots of things, you know, in different ways. And probably still do. You're all, as I said to this guy last week, because he's doing a shop robber, my own son, you're always learning and you always respect. And obviously with the father, he's 73, I'm 49 of the mother.
Yeah.
We still take advice, we still take help, we still take chats. And so you're always, it's probably continuous, isn't it?
Yes.
Even with your own family, it's continuous.
Some chats you don't want to be involved in, though. Like, yeah. You know, my dad has a serious problem. You know, you sit down at a table, at a dinner table, he said, dinner's done, right? We get on to the next thing, go do a bit of training or something. But you look at your watch an hour later, and you're after getting a lecture off your man about the glass in front of you. That's good crack, though, all the same. Oh, yeah. Sitting down listening to him in the night, like.
Hilary, if you look at your children, and when they were babies and now they're adults and they've got their own children and everything, what do you think as a father you've given to them?
I go back to my own youth, right? My father teaching me, I was born in 1946 and my father took on a contract above in Cork Airport to lay out the whole place. We were harrowing and setting the grass seed and all that. No, we went up there, I was 11 years of age. My brother, John, was 15. No, he was 13. 14. And Willie was 9. So we were above in the airport working with my father. We had a contract. My father was the head man. And the three of us were the workmen. Just three lads, you know. And we walked there in 1960. We used to be up there. He'd have us up there at the dawn. And we wouldn't leave until dusk. Every day of the week. So, that's what I passed on to my lads. When they came on, in fairness, none of them showed work.
Working hard and playing sport has cemented relationships between father, son and grandson.
And I suppose we played rugby, we played hurling and football, a bit of badminton, he tried a bit of badminton. We did road bowling, actually the steel road bowling.
I actually have trophies for 15 different sports.
Yeah. Yeah. What, Hilary?
Yes, and I have an Irish title for boxing and I have an Irish title for hot rod racing. They'll never live up to my sort of expectations against that, you know. But a funny thing, what they really went for was rugby, you know, and my grandsons, which I never played the rugby, but they did, you know.
I know, as the father said, this fellow's following through now and he's playing school rugby and college rugby and he's playing a bit of other rugby as well.
My dad, my mum got us involved in sports at a very young age, And then your grandfather following along to everything, We had an All-Ireland final there, was it a month ago?
Up in rugby?
Yeah, against Trinity up in Naas. Both of them, rather, I could travel all over the world and they'd both be at my matches, so I'm lucky on that behalf, And it's a problem, you go in to watch a rugby match or review a match on a Monday morning, and the volume's off, and you're saying, geez, the camera's after breaking or something. But they're actually muting it because the two lads are too loud over the whole crowd,
Reluctantly, I leave the three generations of Loftus men to chat, banter and laughter. So fatherhood has changed between the last century and this century, and in times of change, it's important for men to talk to each other, says Brendan Dennehy, who runs a fatherhood programme.
The magic of it really is that when you have an all-male group, it's a different dynamic to when you mix the genders, obviously, for obvious reasons. There's different contributions that can be made from different genders. But there's a magic happens, and I've said this before, when you get a group of men in the room, especially maybe it's an Irish thing, because they were never asked what it was like to be a dad. I mean, I'm 54 years of age. I've been a father for 22 years. Nobody ever asked me what it was like to be a father. And certainly, so I just took my template from my father, which maybe has, you know, mixed outcomes. And I think there's new learning to be had, but I think the environment is conducive towards that new learning because we're talking about our feelings and our emotions more, which is a good thing.
In his kitchen in Cork, I meet some men who have taken part in the programme.
So I've just asked the two lads to discuss their own fathers, and any time in the class when I run this and I ask men, spend 2 or 3 minutes there and tell us about your relationship with your own father. I could leave the room and paint a gable end and cut the grass and come back and you'd still be talking. So how did the two of you get on there, lads, Pat and Barry, we'll talk about your
Brilliant.
Family.
A lot of similar stories in the room.
That's right, yeah. We all have more in common than we realise until we get down and have an opportunity, which we never do, to talk just as fathers in an all-male environment about what it means and what it's like to be a dad. It was the first.
Quite similar, you know, that they weren't really participating with the
emotional piece is missing for all.
Yeah, the emotional bit.
And our fathers all worked and all put the money up on the table. Yeah. But then that was the rest of it was left to mom.
That's right.
It's now a bit more modern now, isn't it? There's more modern dads out there.
But the big change is now that we hug our children and we're more tactile with them. And it's a better world for that, isn't it?
Of course it's better. It is more honest, more demanding, but more rewarding as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Pat, your eldest son is 40. So I'm wondering, did you change as a father over the years?
Well, I'd like to think that I was different from my own father, who was very much of his generation, where he went out, he worked, he put his wages on the table, and that was his contribution to the family. But looking back, that's exactly what I did as well. When my kids were small, I really believed that my role in the family was to make as much money as I could and provide as much material benefits as I could. And it was only as my kids got older that I realised that I wasn't spending enough time with them. And I think as they got older, I spent less time working and more time with them. But looking back, I didn't still spend enough time with them. I regret that to this day. And now with my 3-year-old grandson, I'm trying to make up for that by spending as much time as I can with him. But that's the lesson I learned from parenthood. Time is what your children want more than anything else. They want your time. And you've got to give it to them when they're young because you can't give it to them. And they certainly don't want it when they're in their 30s and 40s.
I know. When you look at your own father and how you are as a father, what are the values, do you think, that have come down through the generations?
I think my father, was a man of his time. He worked very hard. He worked a hell of a lot harder than I work physically. My father worked on building sites. He was an asphalter, which is a tough job. You're working on hot mould in asphalt on summer days and you're on your knees spreading it. So he had a tough job. He was the father of 9 children. I honestly don't know how my parents reared 9 kids. I have 2 and I found that challenging. I think these days it's difficult to realise how tough it was in the 50s. We have so much now. My parents had nothing really. They had they lived hand to mouth. And it was tough. And it was tough for women in Ireland in the 50s and 60s.
Looking at your own father, his life was dedicated to putting food on your table. That came easier for you. So does that allow you to spend more time parenting or being the dad you want to be to your children?
Of course. I remember when I was very small, my father had to go and work in England for about 3 years, which must have been extraordinarily difficult for him. He had 3 or 4 young kids and he's living in digs in London and sending home what he can. I mean, that's a dreadful way to try and be as a family. Whereas I've always had work. I've always had good work. And I'm not saying that money makes you more emotionally present, but certainly the lack of money makes it a hell of a lot more difficult to invest in the emotional aspects of rearing your kids.
Barry's father was a hard-working man too.
And you said he didn't do the nappies, and this is not a criticism, this is the time that it was. Do you think you would spend more time with your children, say, than your dad spent with you?
Certainly a different time, and I would never compare my dad to me. You know, as I said, my dad did, he financially supported all of us. We all went to good schools in Cork here, for my two brothers and two sisters and myself. The fridge was never empty, you know. But as I said, emotionally, he would never say, I love you, but that's not something that you could blame him. That's something that maybe the difference I would have is I start using that an awful lot with my kids and I get it back, you know. And you genuinely, when you say it, you mean it, you know.
It always moves me to hear a man tell his children that he loves them.
I mean, poor dad's getting slated.
I know, no, he's not, and I think it's very clear.
You know.
The chat in the Dennehy kitchen ran on, but that's all we have time for on this edition of Like Family. Thanks to all the families who took part in this programme. Thank you for listening. And this programme was produced by Eileen Hearn.
For more information, check out rte.ie/radio1/likefamily.